A red plastic box has gathered dust behind some camping gear in my basement for the past 10 years. I haven't opened it, I don't think I've even touched it, since I moved into my home on Cape Cod in 2005. It's filled with all the stuff I collected as the lead reporter on a two-day newspaper series called Opiates in Our Towns. There are reports and notebooks, newspaper clippings.
Letters, a note from the publisher, great work.
Karen Andreas is one of the editors I worked with a decade ago when the Salem News was the first newspaper in New England to report a disturbing trend, what's now known as the opiate epidemic.
I mean, just fun to go through this stuff, but also eerie. And it's really interesting that you kept it.
Andreas is now the publisher of the North of Boston Media Group, which includes the Eagle Tribune and the Salem News. I brought the red box to her office in Lawrence. I wanted to talk about some of the things inside. She picks up the old front page and starts reading.
A heroin epidemic has hit the North Shore, and the victims are not the usual suspects. They are middle-class kids from the suburbs who start experimenting with prescription drugs for fun. But before very long, they are addicts, desperate to find the next fix.
Yeah.
I remember that. And the issue hasn't gone away.
We sift through the box together and I realize it's the letters inside that have kept me away all these years. I can't face them. They're filled with gratitude and hope. Shamed parents of teens and 20-somethings thanking me, praising me, saying, now that the story's out there, things will change. People will take action. A decade later, I know it didn't happen. Things just got worse.
We really did a very good series and a very good job at informing the public of what the problems were. But like everyone else, we did not do a good job of keeping the news front and center. And that is what we're doing differently now.
Earlier this year, the Salem News marked the 10th anniversary of our first series with another multi-day project looking at the heroin pain pill issue. Reporters talked to some of the same people I originally did. But they didn't talk to Sean Harnish, the 22-year-old Peabody kid who went from varsity baseball player at Bishop Fenwick High School to lying and stealing heroin addict. We put his picture on the front page, and he became the face of the North Shore's emerging opiate problem.
Yeah.
He was the one who was living in the motel.
Oh, God, yeah.
And when I went in to interview him the first time, I looked at his bed, and on the bed was this blanket with dozens and dozens of cigarette burns for every time he did heroin with a cigarette in his hand and then fell asleep.
Right.
And I thought, what a lifestyle.
I'll tell you, though, Sean, that's what really good journalism is all about, though. You were able to develop that relationship with this person who then trusted you enough to say, yes, use my name and tell my story because I want to help someone else. I take great pride in that, and certainly you should.
I don't know. For the past year, coverage of the opiate epidemic has been everywhere, but I can't shake the feeling we all missed an opportunity. At home, I look inside the box and I find a manila envelope with a handheld tape player and about a dozen tiny cassette tapes. Two of the tapes are labeled Sean Harnish. I wonder if he lived.
So you always know heroism would be there, but to see it come back as hard as it has, to see it come back as ferocious as it has.
That's John Blodgett. He was the new district attorney in Essex County when I went to his office with this tape recorder. I quoted Blodgett on the front page saying, "We feel the breeze, but we know the hurricane is coming."
I think we were making some progress. It seemed to sort of, I think, slow down.
10 years after I first interviewed Blodgett, I'm back in his downtown Salem office.
The effort sort of slowed down or didn't get the attention it was getting back when this article first came out, which really heightened awareness. So now, obviously, in the last, say, year and a half, it's spiked up again, the interest, because of the unacceptable number of deaths by opiates.
Last year, more than 1,000 people died in Massachusetts from opiate overdoses. But Blodgett says there's a solution, treatment on demand. If someone wants to escape the lying and dying lifestyle of heroin addiction, he says there should be a place to go with a program that works for at least 30 days.
We can talk about this issue, but until political leaders have the will to step up and tell their constituents that we're going to expend whatever that figure is, it may be billions of dollars, to provide treatment on demand or long-term treatment, we're not going to get out of this problem.
During the past decade, Blodgett has instituted drug diversion programs throughout Essex County. but it's only been recently that state leaders have embraced the opiate issue. Still, raising taxes for long-term treatment on demand is not part of the debate on Beacon Hill.
We can have task force till the cows come home, but the fact is this, until people have the political will to put their money where the mouth is, we're not going to have a solution to this problem.
Back in my car, I think about calling the politicians and asking about their plans for new laws. I want to hold them accountable for doing so little for so long. But then I think, what about me? I knew more about the OxyContin heroin connection than probably any journalist in the country. But I took all my notes, all my tapes, everything, and I put them in a box. I went on to do other stories. Where were the politicians? Where was I? And what happened to Sean Harnish? What happened to the 22-year-old who decided to give his name, share his story, and become the face of the North Shore's first generation of young heroin addicts? I found him the same way everyone finds people these days. Facebook.
Hi. Hi. I'm Sean Corcoran.
Some additional online snooping led me to his mother's house in Salem.
I'm looking for Sean.
He's home.
Is he?
Yeah.
You think he'd talk to me?
Come on in a minute.
I don't know if Sean Harnish wants to see me. The last time I saw him, it was through smudged plexiglass at Middleton Jail. But in a moment, there he is, clear-eyed and smiling, with an adorable little girl at his side.
I've been good, but I'm happy to see you, like, on the other side.
Yeah.
It's amazing to see him like this, clean, and a father. We go outside to talk, and I ask him about his daughter.
I'm privileged enough to be able to work out of the house by working online, and so I'm with her all the time now. And, you know, life is good.
10 years ago in that dingy little motel room, it was all so hopeless.
I mean, it was a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week hustle. Like, up at 8 a.m., out till 9 p.m. just so I could, you know, feel a little high from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. before I passed out and just had to do it again. It was just a sick cycle that you can't get out of. And even if you want to, there's nowhere to go to get out of it. That was always the problem.
Harnish, the recovering addict and convicted criminal, sounds a lot like District Attorney John Blodgett. Treatment on demand. Spend the money. Give people a way out, he says.
Massachusetts has a lot of issues with how they treat people looking for help. They have detoxes, but detoxes isn't long-term. They need a 30-day program, straight and flat. You know, that, at least that gives them a base.
I asked Harnish why he let me use his name in the newspaper a decade ago.
I figured if I put my name out there and it would lead to somebody getting help, and if I helped one person, which I know I did because I actually got a lot of letters. I got letters in jail, a few letters in jail from parents and mothers who read the story and said it really helped.
I tell Harnish that I received letters too, but I put them in a box. They're hard to face. Still, the journalism I did with him was probably my best, my most important, and it's good to see him alive and clean. No longer the face of addiction, to me, he's a symbol of hope. Hope that there's a way out. For WCAI, I'm Sean Corcoran.